AutoLine After Hours is brought to you by the 2013 Hyundai Sonata. Learn more at HyundaiSonata.com. Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. And by Chevrolet. Chevy runs deep.
This is AutoLine After Hours with John McElroy, episode 173 for November 30th, 2012. Topless at the beach with three cylinders thrown in. Watch AutoLine After Hours live at AutoLine.tv every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time or 2300 GMT. You can subscribe to this podcast for free by searching for AutoLine in iTunes, Stitcher, or by following the links on our website. Boy, we're doing a very different AutoLine After Hours this time because we're in Santa Monica, California. Unfortunately, my co-pilot, Peter DeLorenzo, isn't with us tonight, but I want Peter to be there next week, and I know he will be. But we're going to be doing a number of different things today since we're out in Santa Monica. There's a lot going on around the LA Auto Show. Volkswagen just had the global debut of the Cabrio version of the Beetle. We're going to be driving that around live, webcasting live from the car. Later on, we're going to get into a Ford three-cylinder, one-liter Fiesta. Going to learn a whole lot more about that, too. That's going to be a lot of fun. But joining me right now is Andres Villabuena. And you're the, what?
I'm the product manager for the Beetle at Volkswagen of America.
That is excellent, man.
Yeah,
so
thanks,
this is
going to
be, welcome to AutoLine After Hours.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this display that you've got here. I mean, you're trying to show the heritage, right?
Exactly. We're trying to make the connection back to the air-cooled days, back to the heritage, and everybody has the Beetle story, so that's the goal.
So this is a 1952 Cabrio?
Yeah, that's one of the 52 Cabrios
that we brought over.
49 was the first, but this is one of the ones we brought over from Germany just for this event, you know, kind of show off and then make that connection.
That's great. Where'd you find this 52?
It's in our museum in Wolfsburg. It's Autostadt. Most of these are the air-cooled cars we have here.
So you guys flew this all the way over just for this?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's cool. Have you driven that one?
No, that one I haven't. I've driven the 79, but not this one.
That's so cool that you've got that one there. But now you've got the brand new one, too.
Yes, the 2013 right there next to it.
So why'd you guys pick L.A. to have the global debut of this car?
Because of the sunny weather that you can obviously see here.
Yeah, and we should tell everybody right now that it's a little bit drizzly and gray.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Nonetheless, that's not going to stop us.
No, not at all. And I mean, with this one here, the red with the black top, you know, you still get that feeling.
Yeah, and so Volkswagen's taken over this hotel on Ocean Boulevard in Santa Monica.
Yes, sir.
You've got this out on display. What's the public reaction been to this, you know?
Oh, I mean, it's the connection, the Beetle story, people stopping. I mean, checking out the 52, but also the new one. And, you know, everybody loves the Beetle. And that's, you know, it's the brand icon. It's the brand. It represents everything. So it's been really, really positive.
And at the LA show itself, what's the reaction then to this car?
Same. And all the stuff I'm reading since yesterday, too. All very positive. Another variant, keep the Beetle fresh and alive, bring something new, and this is the latest version.
So what's new and different about this car? I mean, what's the highlight of this car to you?
For me, besides the sporty design, the lowered roof, you know, trying to make it more aggressive because I like the GTI, I like that sporty driving, it's really the connection. And then the biggest thing for me is the TDI. I mean, to offer a TDI in a convertible over 40 miles per gallon, I mean, nobody can do it. We're doing it, manual and automatic. You know, that's really, really one of the highlights.
That is really cool. Volkswagen's really been pushing diesel engines. I know in the Jetta especially, the take rate on that one's super high. What do you think it might be on this car?
Oh, this one could be as high as 25 or maybe even more. Since it's so new, we've never done it before. You know, to offer it now, we'll really track it, see how it does.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
What are you charging for the diesel?
The diesel starts about 27 grand, but it's equipped with 17-inch alloy wheels already, multifunction steering wheel, push-button start, Bluetooth. You know, it's definitely not a
So if you get the diesel, it's a whole package, or can you just buy the diesel engine separate?
It's a package already. There's two versions. There's just the one that has all that technology equipment, and then there's the one right above it with fender and navigation.
Explain Fender for people who don't know that side.
Well, you know, everybody knows Fender is the icon.
Fender guitars.
Yes, Fender guitar is the icon of the guitar world. So making that connection and offering Fender premium audio, not only in the Beetle, but in the GLI and the Passat. I mean, it's just great. This morning when we did the presentation, you know, we turned it up via the Bluetooth audio, and it just sounds amazing with the subwoofer and everything.
So tell me a little bit about the top. You know, I'm sure you went out of your way to make this car as quiet as possible and have that top go up and down quickly.
Oh, yeah, three layers insulation, top and bottom, full power top, no latches, nothing to do manually. Just hold the button, it goes down. And you can do it up to 30 miles an hour, or 31 miles an hour.
No kidding.
You're pulling out of the spot, pulling out of the parking lot, holding the button. By the time you hit the street, the top's down.
See, I love that, because so many convertibles make you come to a full stop, put the car in park.
Parking brake, all that stuff. No, you're moving, you're putting the top
and
down.
And I like the way that you said it, because, you know, I like putting it up or down as I'm driving down the driveway.
Exactly.
You know, and it
exactly.
just makes it that much more convenient.
Yeah, and 9.5 seconds to open, 11 seconds to close. It's really quick.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, you've whetted my appetite. We got
awesome.
A couple of cars here.
Okay.
Let's try this out. We're going to go live webcasting.
Okay.
So come on.
Yes,
Chris.
Let's go.
Let's get in the car and see how all this works.
Great.
So what's this? What's the 60s that's on it?
So in trying to make that connection back to the heritage and the air-cooled days, we're bringing out these special models at launch, the 50s, 60s, and 70s, kind of like the decades editions. So this 60s is to make that connection. And has some unique features like the denim blue paint, the badge on the outside, and this one's actually fully loaded with navigation, heated seats. We have the performance gauges on the dash with the oil temp and the boost gauge, push button start, so everything's on here.
So why'd you pick the 60s name? Why not 50s or 70s or something like that?
Well, the 50s, it's that black with the beige interior that we also are going to offer. And then the 70s is that really iconic toffee brown with the beige. You know, that really elegant connection that has existed before.
So I'm not noticing a whole lot of cowl shake. Now, I mean, we're not going all that fast and the road's not that bumpy, but what'd they do to stiffen up the chassis in this?
Well, all the cabrios come with four-link, multi-link rear suspension. And the reason that's happening is because it's got some crossbeams underneath to really stiffen up the chassis so you don't have that shake as you're driving.
So they didn't just chop the top off a Beetle and go at it that way?
No, there's a lot of reinforcements, whether it's with the A-pillar, whether it's underneath with the crossbeams. You know, that idea of really, you know, making it a daily driver and being able to do that.
When's this car go on sale?
Tomorrow, the dealers will start to receive it. So we timed it perfectly. The debut, the auto show, and now they show up at dealers.
Okay, you talked about the TDI version starting at around 27
yes,
and change.
Sir. Yep.
What's the base cost?
The base cost is the 2.5 liter, 170 horsepower, 5-cylinder, and that starts at $24,995 with the automatic transmission already.
But you said you can get a manual in this.
You can get a manual in the turbo and the TDI. The 2.5 is automatic only.
Gotcha.
You know, there's such a low take rate on the coupe. We really feel that's such an aggressive price point already when you're looking at some of the competitors. So it's great.
Now, I got to believe this car is going to be sold in more than just the U.S. market.
Oh, yeah. It's all produced in Mexico. But, yeah, it's sold globally. We introduced the U.S. first last year, since we're the number one market. But Germany introduced it in Japan, I think just this past fall or earlier in the fall, introduced it as well. So, yeah, it's all over the world.
The last Beetle kind of got the reputation of being something of a chick car. It looks like you guys are trying to move the needle as far as that goes.
Yeah, well, we're really trying to make the car appeal to everybody, not alienate anybody, not, you know, eliminate anybody. We're just trying to make it more sporty, more dynamic, and just, you know, have the car for everybody. And especially with the convertible, our VP, Reiner Michel, he's coined that phrase, convertible without compromise. So, you know, having those three engines and stuff.
But, you know, when I look at the styling of the new version of the Beetle, it almost looks to me like it could have come out of one of the Porsche design studios. Not that it looks like a Porsche, but there's elements that are more Porsche-esque than Volkswagen to this, even though it's an iconic VW design.
Yeah, no, I've gotten that feedback as well from different shows and from different customers. And, you know, when you look at the back right now, this one, you can really see the shoulders on the outside there. Makes a big difference.
I do, and I love the way that the taillights light up on this thing. It's just got much more of a technical look to it.
Well, and the taillights, that's great that you bring it up. The taillights, when the designers were working on the coupe and the cabrio, they looked back at the air-cooled one, and it was that that oval shape horizontal. So what they did was they turned it vertical, and they cut it off, and that's where that comes from. That's how you get that those curves in there.
Are there other styling differences that I haven't picked up? I mean, between the cabrio and the non-cabrio?
No, it's pretty much the same. The biggest thing with the cabrio is they all come with a spoiler, whereas on the coupe, just the turbo has the spoiler.
Uh-huh.
For the cabrio, it really helped that belt line go all the way and then extended it to the rear. So we decided that all the cabrios will have spoilers.
So in the Beetle lineup, what's the take rate been on convertibles?
Historically, it's been almost as high as about 40%.
No.
Yeah.
Of the total line.
Yeah, coupe and cabrio combined, yeah.
That's gotta be the highest take rate of any car in the business for a convertible.
It's pretty high. Oh, look, there's a coupe there. Yeah, it's pretty high, but we're expecting probably 25-30% incremental sales with the cabrio. Yeah, a lot of people have been waiting for it. We've got a lot of research, a lot of feedback from the dealers where people are really looking for this car.
And so the Cabrio is how much more expensive?
About a $4,100 price step between the coupe and the Cabrio.
And yet you've had up to a 40% take rate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In 2002, we sold 28,000 Cabrios.
I'm blown away. I had no idea it was that high. You know, I see the sales figures for the car, but I don't see it broken out for a Cabrio or whatever.
Yeah. No, it's great. I mean, year to date so far, just on the coupe, we're almost at 25,000, and we still have the end of November and December, so we're hoping for that 30,000 mark on the coupe.
Do you think having the TDI is going to help maybe take that take rate up too?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, over 40 miles per gallon with the manual trans. Again, even in the convertible, it's that dynamic fun with the TDI, with the torque. 236 pound-feet of torque is no joke. And just being able to drive with the manual or the DSG. So it's just, again, it's building that car or offering a car that appeals to everybody. And when you have that fuel economy version, again, you're just bringing more customers.
So is there another step? Everybody loves to talk about their latest thing, but a couple of years down the road, do you have a couple of other surprises for us?
We have surprises every year. We've been working on the Beetle lifecycle. We started working on it 4 years ago. So we have stuff coming, on the shelf, ready to go. That's the idea. That's the biggest thing with Beetle is because it's such a brand icon, we can do something special with it, in extreme. It doesn't have to be something just color related. And, we focus on it, and we want to keep it alive and really fresh in the market. So that's definitely one of the plans.
An R version, maybe?
I would love an R version. I would love an R version. Why not the Cabrio? If we're going to do it on the coupe, I would love to have it on the Cabrio.
That's great.
Again, pushing that sporty dynamic, I sure hope we do it.
Well, isn't that car kind of the secret of keeping a brand or a model relevant and fresh is every couple of years or so you come out with something special on it?
Yeah, well, that's definitely one of the ideas. Some of the manufacturers, and we do it too, after a few years we'll do different bumpers, we'll do, these facelifts that make a difference with those, more mainstream cars. But on a Beetle, you change the bumpers, it's still a Beetle.
Yeah.
So, use that investment and do those special models and do something unique, and that's our goal.
What else? What am I missing here? Anything? What can you tell me more about the car?
We really tried, when you look at the configurations, there's basically three per engine, and we really tried to make it simple for the customer and for the dealers, where the trim levels that we offer are the same, whether it's a coupe or convertible, making it consistent, and then that's what we use as think of it as like a blank canvas. So that's where you start these special models from. You pick your level, and then you start building up from there. Trying to make it very logical and very simple. Mm-hmm. Very simple and very clear to everybody.
Where are sales of the Cabrio right now? Or, per year, what have you guys been doing?
I mean, it's ranged from, like I mentioned, 24,000 back in 2002. In 2010, we got down to about 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, we really hope to change that and really increase those numbers. That's the goal for sure.
I like how some convertibles have different color tops. What are the choices on this car?
On the Beetle, will have a beige top and a black top, just as the basic series colors. Mm-hmm. As the future goes, we'll come out with different colors, different special models, make something unique. One thing that's really interesting, too, some of the competitors, when you look at the competitive set for the coupe that's already been out for a little over a year, we have people coming from everywhere. So when you talk about, mid-size sedans, there's very obvious competitors. We have people coming from Mustangs and some, cars you would never think of looking at Beetle because of that, historical, that heritage connection.
I can only imagine that the aftermarket crowd, the SEMA crowd, is going to go crazy with this car. Have you been talking with those people?
That's great that you mentioned that. Just this past SEMA, the guys at VW Vortex built a 500 horsepower all-wheel drive Beetle. And it won the best European car of the show. So that's awesome that you bring it up. We had five other cars there as well, but that one won best European car.
And aftermarket parts, what do you think is going to go on? What do you think is going to be the hot thing? Wheels,
suspension. We do this second skin graphic program where you have the racing stripes and stuff. So we're really trying to, make it so you can personalize, specialize, make it your own.
This has got to be a lot of fun to do, man. I'm envious. You got a great job here.
No complaints. Living the dream. That's what I say.
Hey, Andres, I've got to do the second part of the show where I'm going to go out and drive this Ford Fiesta with the 3-cylinder, 1-liter engine. But I want you to hang around because when we get to the rapid fire part of the show, I want you here for that because we'll get questions from the audience.
I'm not going anywhere.
And even though I've asked you a zillion questions, the audience always comes up with stuff I never thought of. So hang around, man.
And, absolutely.
In a little while, we'll have you back on the show.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right here waiting.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, folks, so coming up soon, I'm going to get into this Ford Fiesta with the 3-cylinder, 1-liter engine, but we got to make a little transition for that right now. We're going to take a quick commercial break. So, Ben, back in the studio, let's give a shout-out to our friends from Bridgestone. Okay, hey, we're back here live, and joining me right now is Liz Elser, the marketing manager for the Ford Fiesta.
Yeah.
And thanks for taking the time to talk about this car, but you got this 3-cylinder engine. That's going to be a new marketing effort for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, for B car buyers, that's what they're looking for, right? It's fuel economy. So to have a 3-cylinder engine that delivers best-in-class fuel economy, but also there's no compromise on performance, delivering, 123 horsepower and 148 pound-feet of torque.
Now, in Europe, having a 1-liter engine, not that big a deal. In America, people are going to go, wait a minute, I remember when pistons were a liter. So, how do you convince the American public that this is going to be a good enough engine for them to drive?
Well, I think, those buyers that are looking for the engine, they're able to drive it, it will blow them away. That's going to be the proof point right there. But it's also, at the end of the day, fuel economy is what's going to sell this vehicle. Whether it's a 3-cylinder or a 4-cylinder, if it's best-in-class fuel economy, people are going to want it.
And what's the fuel economy on this car?
Well, it's projected to be above 40 miles per gallon. We're at 40 right now, and we're not going back.
You're not giving it away yet. Why not? Why aren't you telling us what this thing will get?
We will later in the year. This will be available later in 2013, and we'll have the fuel economy numbers closer to that time.
Okay, when in 2013?
Later in 2013.
Oh, gosh, you guys aren't telling us anything. So is it still undergoing testing and evaluation? You don't know the numbers yet, or you're holding it back to have a bigger impact when you do announce it?
Well, the EPA testing will actually be done a few months before it's actually available out in dealerships. So that's still a few months away.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah.
And will there be a premium to buy a much smaller engine?
So this comes standard with our 1.6, the Fiesta 2014 will come standard with our 1.6 TI VCT engine.
Okay.
So you will have to, the 1-liter will be an option.
Sure, because it's turbocharged and
EcoBoost is a little bit more special. Yes, it is.
So what's your market research tell you about this? I mean, because when the engine came out in Europe, mm-hmm. we in the media were all asking for, when do we get it stateside? And they were like, we don't know if Americans are going to go for an engine like this. Clearly, you must think that Americans are going to go for an engine like this.
Absolutely. I mean, and in Europe, it's about 30% of the Focus sales so far. So in Europe, it's
really taking off. What do they charge in Europe for it?
I don't know that off the top of my head. But.
Okay, audience, you guys start Googling it. I want that in our rapid-fire part of the show.
But no, in North America, it's great performance. It's a very refined engine. And so, I mean, best in class fuel economy. Those three things alone will sell this vehicle.
Marketing-wise, are you going to do anything new, different? Or what can you tell us about the effort to get the word out about this?
About the 1 liter?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it'll be combined with our effort on the 2014 in general, because this is a refresh for us. So we've done a lot of upgrades to the 2014 from our 2011 Fiesta.
Does this car have the new nose?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's take a look.
So it's kind of the Fusion nose to it. So clearly this is going to be the new look of Ford passenger cars.
It is. This is definitely adopting the new Ford DNA. So we've got the new sculpted hood with the character lines, the recessed Ford oval into the sheet metal, the chrome grille there that looks so nice and has been very well received on the Fusion. The laser cut thin headlamps. Fog lamps are a new addition too for the 2014 Fiesta. We'll have all new wheel lineup.
And you must love this nose on the car because
it
looks so much more sophisticated, looks more upscale than the current one.
Well, you know, the current one is great too, and it's a fun little vehicle.
I'm not putting the current one down. I'm just saying this is a whole lot better.
It's a beautiful grill. I mean, you can't argue with that. It really looks nice.
What else is new besides the nose of the car and the fact that it's going to get a three-cylinder engine? What else?
So we've done a lot of upgrades on the interior too, new materials and finish, but technology was really the other thing that we've put a lot into in terms of the 2014 Fiesta. We've added MyFord Touch, and this is the first time it'll be available in the Fiesta. It's a 6.5-inch LCD touchscreen available with navigation, but for these buyers, that's what they want. They want technology.
Fiesta's been doing pretty good in the U.S. for its segment, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't it like number two in the segment, or do I have that right?
It's been very competitive in a very competitive segment.
Yeah.
They all kind of jump around. You know, but it's been very competitive.
And what do you think sales-wise? Are you guys looking for, with the redesign, the upgrades, the new engine in it, to hold sales where they are or increase them?
You know, we'll build to meet customer demand, but obviously we definitely want to sell as many of these Fiestas as we can.
And what regions do you think will be the stronger ones for it? I mean, here we are in Santa Monica, California. I got to believe that an engine like this, because they got higher gas prices here than just about anywhere else in the country,
right.
That this thing's going to do better in California than maybe other parts of the country.
Well, actually, the Fiesta in L.A., L.A.'s our top-selling market for the Fiesta.
Already?
Already.
Okay.
So I do imagine they're going to love the 1 liter, too, here. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, Liz, thanks for your time. And I want to take this car for a drive. And I know we got Steve Russ here who can tell me all about the engine. But stick around, because when we get to the rapid fire part of the show, we'll get questions from the audience. And I'm going to need you here just in case we get anything that goes beyond the engine.
I'll be here.
Okay.
Sounds great. Enjoy the drive.
Thanks for your time right now. And you're Steve Rush.
Yes, sir.
Steve, you got to hold your own microphone.
Okay,
and
that works.
On this show, you got to do it yourself.
Okay.
So what's your background? What's your involvement at Ford?
I'm an engine technical specialist in charge of performance, fuel economy, and exhaust emissions for our engines.
So you work on more than just this 1 liter engine?
True. This 1 liter engine was developed in Europe. It was initially developed in Mirkenich, and then it went and was delivered out of our Dagenham facility. So it's a European engine, but we're a global car company, and Engine is a global organization.
Oh, so it'll be sourced out of where?
Cologne, Germany will be made in.
Oh, no kidding. Very interesting.
Yeah.
That's got to be highly unusual for Ford North America to be sourcing a German engine. I mean, you've done it in years past, but not recently.
Yeah, our technology and our product, you know, now is really getting more and more global, so.
In fact, I think history, wasn't the Ford Pinto the first North American product to use a German-sourced engine for Ford?
That may be. Cologne has made a lot of our engines, so they made the old 4-liter that went in the Explorer.
I'm old enough to tell you that's exactly what it is. Steve, let's get in this car.
Great.
And drive it, because I want to see what this is about. Okay.
It's just push the button.
Which button?
Right
there.
Yep.
Sorry, the steering wheel was hiding that for me.
You better buckle up or it'll scream at us probably.
Oh, no. I always buckle up.
Good.
Always buckle up. What kind of changes did you have to make to this engine to bring it to North America?
The engine really had no changes at all. Obviously, there is a different emission standard, so
some calibration.
Exactly, some calibration and potentially some after treatment. But the engine itself is the same engine that has been released for about 8 months now in Europe in our larger Ford Focus.
Okay, we haven't gone 100 yards, and already this thing seems to have pretty good low-end torque.
Absolutely, right? That's the EcoBoost. That's the turbocharger, right? It's effortless. It's a very, very drivable engine, right? You have the torque available. You don't have to downshift to bring the engine RPMs up to get that power.
And I know Liz told me the horsepower and torque, but go through that again.
Yeah, this will have approximately 123 horsepower. It's 125 PS in Europe released, and 148 foot-pounds of torque.
It's pretty good out of a three-cylinder, one-liter engine.
Absolutely. Yep, and the torque is available as low as 1,400 RPM, and that's, again, what you're feeling as you drive it. It feels like a diesel, right? It's got that torque available.
At the very bottom. It really does. Hey, for the media program, I heard that you or somebody actually checked the engine in, like, a handbag to fly it out here.
Well, it did get flown out here, but the press guys, they put it in and they checked it through security to demonstrate again how small and compact this motor is. It'll fit actually on a European 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, the engine block. It was just the block that they brought through through security, but it's again,
nonetheless. Yes, you go carry on with an engine block.
That's right.
I've never done that myself. What was the biggest challenge in developing this engine?
Well, I think it really took some courage for Ford Motor Company. It's really, a departure. Will the customers accept such a small engine? But, it's the same core EcoBoost technology that we have applied on our other engines. It's a turbocharged, direct injected. It's got twin independent variable cam timing. They brought other additional fuel saving technology specifically to this engine. It's got a split cooling system, which is unique. And
explain that. I don't know what that is.
Okay, what it does is there's a separate thermostat for the cylinder block and a separate thermostat for the rest of the engine. And so the cylinder block thermostat will stay closed while the flow circulates through the rest of the engine. So it results in the engine warming up faster.
For emissions.
For fuel economy and for passenger comfort, right? If the coolant is flowing through the hottest parts of the engine only until it's needed to flow through the cylinder block. So that should be great for people in Detroit and other areas of the country where it's starting to get cold out. That should warm up very quickly. It has a belt and oil system.
Go back again. What's that? Explain that.
Well, the timing, instead of using a timing chain, it actually has a timing belt, but it's a lot different than the timing belt of 20 years ago that, there were service intervals on. Mm-hmm. This is a maintenance-free belt and oil system, which is very low friction and very quiet. I mean, I think you can see here how quiet this engine is.
It is.
So that's a new technology, again, a first for Ford in our product lineup. The oil pump is actually a variable displacement oil pump where it will provide only the pressure required at a particular engine RPM, again, to save fuel economy. The engineers did a great job with every little detail minimizing friction in this engine.
And the crank's offset, right?
Correct.
Explain that. What's the benefit of that?
Well, instead of being directly in line with the cylinder bores, it's offset by 10 millimeters in this engine.
Which is a tiny amount.
It's small, but what it does is that there's a measurable benefit in the piston friction. As the piston is descending on the expansion stroke, the thrust side of the piston forces are decreased by the fact of having that slightly offset crankshaft. So it's, again, one of the minor refinements that we've used to really optimize the friction in this engine.
So I know every little bit helps, but what might that little bit contribute?
The offset crankshaft, I mean, it may be 1%.
Really?
But again, it's these.
You need all the 1%ers you can get.
Half 1%, exactly right.
And so it comes to the U.S. market next year.
Late next year, correct.
And, I mean, what kind of life does an engine like this have? Typically, an engine's out there for at least 20 years. You see this one going for that long?
Oh, absolutely, right? I mean, as vehicles get smaller, lighter weight materials, right? And the fact that, as you can feel, it feels great.
It does.
The European customers in the Focus, it's got 30% of the volume of the European Focus customers are ordering it with the 1 liter EcoBoost.
That's amazing.
So it's really been a smash success in Europe. It's won the International Engine of the Year. I mean, the journalists and everybody that's driven it has really raved about it.
Do you know what the premium is that they charge for this engine in Europe?
I do not.
Okay.
Maybe not. So, like, maybe some.
I asked Liz that too, just so you know. And look, this performs pretty well. I mean, we're not driving really fast or really gunning it. I got to follow the chase car here. But what about putting something like this in the Focus?
Well, I mean, it is in the Focus in Europe, so I think we'll have to gauge in the U.S. market how the customers accept it, and then, you know, we'll build again, like Liz said, to meet demand. So we'll see what the customers have to say.
Is this an all-aluminum engine?
No, actually, the cylinder block is cast iron. It's got a lot higher cylinder pressures. This engine was designed from the start to be turbocharged, so it is a higher pressure that is required, and the cast iron block works out real well. It's such a small block that the weight penalty is not huge.
Yeah, I can imagine that the weight penalty on something like this isn't much of anything at all. So what am I missing here? What else could you be telling our audience about this engine and what you're doing with it?
No, I think they need to experience it, right? The journalists have been really excited about it this week. The low-end torque, you know, I think as they drive most of our EcoBoost, this is just the next generation of that. And it's, again, an engine that has been designed from day one to be EcoBoosted.
Okay, so why is Ford bringing all these journalists into Santa Monica to drive this car, and you won't tell us when it's coming out or how much it's going to cost or what kind of fuel economy it's getting? Why do the program now?
Well, I think this is probably the last opportunity. It will be out by the time the LA Auto Show is next year, and so
you're just whetting our appetite.
I guess, yeah. And this is again a prime market for it. You know, I think, but there's all the urban areas. I think it's going to be a great urban vehicle. Young people, sporty with the manual transmission.
And I got to believe. Let's get out of the car because we should get Liz in on part of this discussion too. Hey, Liz.
Good.
Question that I was just asking Steve that I want to ask for you too, and we got to get that to you. Why are you doing this media launch right now? As I just said to Steve, you won't tell us how much it's going to cost. You won't tell us what the fuel economy is. You won't tell us when it's coming out. And yet you got all kinds of media here driving the thing. What's the idea behind that?
Well, I mean, part of it is the show being in L.A. It's in L.A. this time of year. You know, we can't change that. And this is a great message for L.A., to your point, with the fuel economy, right? And also just because it's a great market for Fiesta. So we wanted to make sure that we could capitalize on it in terms of the show timing. But also because it's a great engine and we're just so excited about it.
So I got to believe, because I kind of like the way it drove, and I need more time under my belt to really make a decision. But my guess is you're getting good feedback on it.
Very, very positive feedback. A lot of people not believing that it's a three-cylinder. It doesn't feel like a three-cylinder.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
It feels a little bit torquey, especially, not a little bit, it feels quite torquey at the bottom end. But I got to believe, too, that you want to see a whole bunch of stories coming out and saying, oh my gosh, I just drove a 1 liter three cylinder engine and it's just great to get the public ready for this car.
Absolutely.
Cool. Well, look, we got to take another quick commercial break, but I want you guys to hang around here because then we'll get to the Q&A part of the show. And stick around because right now we're going to take another quick commercial break and we want to give a shout out to our friends at Chevrolet.
You know why I pulled you over, ma'am? I need you to recalibrate the Doppler shift on the return signal. Radar's on the frisk.
Do Sonata drivers know something you don't? The Sonata from Hyundai.
It was more than a car to him. It really was his baby.
Oh, no. That's my old Chevy. Dear God.
Okay, I got the whole crew here right now. Andres, Liz, and Steve. We're going to get to the rapid fire part of the show. So, Ben, let it rip.
No, he already did.
He already did. This is what happens when you do live remote shots.
Okay, the first question up is from Mike DeWhite, who says he thinks it's $995 option in Europe for the engine. Just so everybody knows on that.
Great.
AM Guerrero wants to know, for Volkswagen here, Andres, any plans for small displacement turbos in the latest Beetle, like the 1.2 or the 1.4 TSI?
Well, like I had mentioned, we're always looking at the life cycle. We started 4 years ago, so I think that 1.4 would be awesome if we can do it. But yeah, it's always something to look for.
And have, other than questioners on after hours, has the public said, hey, what about a 1.2 or a 1.4 in a Beetle?
No, not really, but we're always looking fuel economy, you know, performance. We're always looking at that stuff in those, you know, small displacement turbocharged engines. They're awesome.
Okay, back to Ford. Will the 1 liter EcoBoost be a manual or power? It's manual and power shift, right?
No, it's only going to be manual initially.
Is that a 5-speed manual?
It will be paired with a 5-speed manual, yes.
Why not a 6-speed?
You know, it's the way that they're doing it in Europe, so It just makes sense to do it the same way.
Would a 6-speed fit in there? Should all of a sudden the customer say, I want a 6-speed and I'd be willing to pay for it?
We absolutely would take all customer feedback, absolutely, and take it into account.
Customer's always right, Liz? let's see. How much lighter is the EcoBoost, the 1 liter, compared to a similarly equipped 1.6?
I believe it's 100 pounds.
That sounds about right.
Oh, yeah. So that helps that engine a lot, 100 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
Scotty in Cleveland wants to know, will the Fiesta come with the smaller LCD screen as standard, not the MyFord Touch one, the larger one?
It will have the smaller screen standard, and the MyFord Touch will be an option.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's see. David in L.A. says, I really want a Fiat 500 Abarth or turbo in a cabrio with an automatic because I don't want to deal with any shifting. Any chance the Abarth or turbo will be available as both a cabrio and an automatic? Boy, David, I can't answer that. We don't have Fiat people here with us right now. So we'll have to look into that. Hopefully get an answer to you next week. He says, does Fiat plan to expand its range beyond the 500 line in the U.S.? Absolutely it does. Fiat's got big plans for the American market, and they're slowly rolling stuff out. Look for commercial vehicles, though, to be the next step in the Fiat line. Let's see, he's got one for Mazda. He says, did Mazda say anything in its presser about making a slightly bigger engine available in the CX-5 for a bit more torque or a diesel engine for the CX-5? They didn't say anything about a bigger engine, and I agree with you. I love the CX-5. It could use a little bit more grunt. But yes, the diesel will be coming for the CX-5. Guy Martineau says, hey, John, are there new regulations on red rear reflectors on cars for 2013? I've noticed that most new vehicles seem to have the reflectors away from the taillight assembly. The new Civic, Accord, Crosstour, Fusion, Malibu now have those reflectors in the lower bumper trim. Is this a new trend or are those requirements? Does anybody have an answer, Ted? They're all shaking their heads. No.
Not sure on that one.
Guy, that you're a very savvy guy, an eagle-eye guy. We don't have an answer for this one either. Let's see. The USDM Fiesta ST. What's USDM? I'm not sure what he means by that. Gets a more powerful 1.6 liter EcoBoost, which produces 197 horsepower. Why does the Euro version get a weaker standard 1.6 liter EcoBoost with 179 horsepower?
So it's the same engine. It's just the certification. In Europe, it's steady state certification, and here it is certified with the overboost.
Okay, gotcha. And let's see. Is it marketed at different competitors in the U.S.? I'm not sure what that means. We'll go on to the next one. Okay, RSMU55 says, can you find out why Ford is only offering the redesigned Transit Connect in North America and not the award-winning Transit Custom Van? You guys are Fiesta people.
Yes, yeah, not the expert on that one, but I'm sure we can get them an answer.
Okay. He said, I was under the impression that the one Ford strategy was to prevent such market segmentations. Well, yeah, but everything's not exactly one Ford. It's just very close to being one Ford. Let's see. Triride 44 says, with all the talk about MPGs, of hybrids, etc., does low rolling resistance tires have any negative effect on stopping distance? You know, I'll bet they do, but I can't believe it's that much. You know, you'd think that a grippier tire would stop faster, and I got to imagine that the low rolling resistance tires are not as grippy.
Mm-hmm. Correct. There's probably trade-offs in roll as well.
Yeah, yeah. Say that again,
Steve. Roll trade-off again. Low rolling resistance tire tends to have a higher pressure, mm-hmm. right, which makes it a bit stiffer tire, a little bit stiffer ride. So there's a trade-off in body roll and feel as well, but
stopping distance, you know, you couldn't
know.
Quote the, you're an
I
engine guy.
Quote.
How
I'm
can you quote braking distances off the top of your head, right?
Well, I mean, you've got the physics right. It's a grippier tire.
Okay. Let's see. Tom Finneson says, why is economic sense only discussed when talking about electric or hybrid cars? It would seem to me that the price of these cars has no more to do with economics than it does when buying any luxury car. Well, that's right. I mean, luxury cars are expensive, electric cars are expensive, but, you know, somebody who's going for an electric car these days is, by and large, making a statement or really wanting to do their part for the planet. And I think economic sense does play a big role in something like that. And so, yeah, even though, watch what happens with the Tesla, because it's both a luxury car and it's expensive and it's electric. So we'll have to see how sales of that go. And maybe we'll get the answer to that then. Okay, Swivel Bucket says, how has Volkswagen improved the punch bug game with this new version of the Beetle?
You're going to see a lot more on the road, so you'll get in a lot more punches. That's how you'll do it. So now, a lot more bruised arms.
It was cool to see Volkswagen revive that in a television ad. Are you guys going to still go with that kind of a theme, play that up?
I mean, we can, but you know, everybody does it already, so it's a good connection.
Okay. Let's see. Dan Constant. I know I've stumbled over Dan's name in the past. Constantinide. And I hope I got that right, Dan. He says, I just bought the latest Consumer Reports Best and Worst Cars issue, and they recommend 5 Audis and 4 BMWs. Is this believable data? CR is not a mag I read often, but I recall that the German premium brands tend to have low reliability scores. Boy, that's absolutely true. So that's a good question, Dan. You know, I can tell you this. The Consumer Reports guys that do all the car testing are real gearheads. It's just like if you go to the EPA lab, all the guys who do the and gals who do all the emissions testing out there, they're true gearheads. And so I was just talking to John Coletti, who used to work at Ford, and he said when they came out with the Mustang Cobra, let me back up a minute. The EPA does not test every single car. They rely on the automakers to supply them with data for emissions and fuel economy. And then if something's not right or at random, they'll pull cars to test. So, what Coletti told me is that the EPA guys, whenever Ford would come out with a hot Mustang, boom, they'd say, we have to test that car. And he said, it's only because they wanted to drive it. When you tell me that the Consumer Reports people like Audis and BMWs, it really doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Let's see, we've got a few more questions here. AAH Guest 130 says, is the inside of the 2014 Fiesta upgraded? And you touched on some of that, but maybe go through a bit more of that again, Liz.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, you know, there's the MyFord Touch available, so that changes the center stack a little bit, but also Sony Premium Audio is available, HD radio, satellite radio. It will have carryover, intelligent access with push-button start. And the dash will look definitely a little bit different. We're also getting, in terms of technology, a rear view camera with parking sensors too, which will be an upgrade, and the ambient lighting will be carryover.
The MyFord Touch has gotten criticism. What are you guys doing for it in this car to make it work better?
Well, you know, we continually take feedback from our customers and third parties to upgrade the system. With this one, the Bluetooth pairing will be simplified. The process will be simplified. It'll be a more natural voice recognition and a flattened and audio command structure too. Just some of the upgrades that we're making for my Ford Touch and the Fiesta.
Okay, and Steve, maybe this one should go to you then. AAH Guest 130. Oh, again, says, will the 1 liter have the start-stop option?
Not currently in the U.S. When we launch it, it will not be an option in the U.S. So we are launching the start-stop in the Fusion. And so we'll look for the customer acceptance of that and go from there.
What's the thinking of not putting it into the Fiesta then?
Well, I mean, it is a relatively expensive option, right? On the Fusion, it's $300 or $400. I'm not sure the exact number.
Yeah, I think it's about $300.
So we'll gauge the customer acceptance of that and see if the Fiesta customers want it. Then I'm certain we'll be able to put it in.
But it's not. I've been in some start systems, and I'll say not Ford's in this case, that aren't very good. I mean, they're pretty rough when they start. You guys are not worried about that in yours, are you?
No, I mean, the team has done a great job, you know, understanding the American customer, what they want, and making sure that they are seamless transitions.
Hey, let's get Andres, too. Andres, what's the thinking of Volkswagen with stop-start systems?
I mean, it's new technology, so it exists. I think the Panamera has it. It's just one of those things that you want to investigate, like you said, too, and bring it to the customer and see what they do and see if they like it, see if you can do it on more cars.
Any plans for putting it in the Beetle?
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, I hope so.
Real good. And then back to Steve again, maybe on this one. How many other North American products might you put the 1 liter into?
Well, I can't comment on that, but, you know, gauging on the acceptance of it here in the Fiesta, it might go into some of our other small cars.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, and what other products is it available in Europe on?
As I mentioned, it was launched initially in the European Focus about 8 months ago.
Okay, and Scotty in Cleveland just sent in another. Is the standard Fiesta dash screen still the red screen?
No, it'll be ice blue.
Explain what's the red screen, because I'm not sure what he's referring to.
Well, I think it's you know, the digital text within the screen. So it was red before, and now it's a nice ice blue.
So easier to read?
You know, calmer on the eyes. You know,
there
it's
you
just,
go.
Yeah, it's a nicer thing to look at.
Okay. What about an ST or an SVT version of this?
Yes, well, we just announced the Fiesta ST. With the 197 horsepower and 215 pound-feet of torque that we're immensely excited about to bring to this market. People have been clamoring for it for a long time, so we're really excited to introduce it in North America.
Cool. Let's see. Let's see if we've got anything else. And let me refresh the screen just to make sure. I think we've gotten to all the questions right now. And we have. So anyway, Steve, thank you so much for coming on. In fact, thank all of you. Come on, Andres, Liz.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Thank
you both for all three of it, really, for letting me get in the car, drive around in it. It's kind of cool. This is different for us, you know, webcasting live from inside a car, driving around. So very cool.
Yes.
Thanks
Absolutely.
Again.
Thanks for having us.
And at this point, we're going to wrap it up, folks. Join us again next week. Well, my friend and colleague Peter DeLorenzo will be back on Autoline After Hours. It's been great having you on this very special edition, webcasting live as we drive around Santa Monica, California. We'll see you next week.
Autoline After Hours is brought to you by the 2013 Hyundai Sonata. Learn more at HyundaiSonata.com. Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. And by Chevrolet. Chevy runs deep.
Visit our website, autoline.tv, where you can watch us live Thursday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern. Get your daily news fix with Autoline Daily and in-depth analysis and interviews with Autoline This Week. There's all that and much more at autoline.tv.